Came home today with my frustrations, took them out for all to see. I raised my voice in my unreason, I'm not the man I want to be. She gave up her heart in promise, the kindest words she spoke to me. But my own vows I keep on breaking, I'm not the man I want to be. Give my sons my best intentions, my daughters stuff that they don't need, but I can steal their joy in moments. I'm not the man I want to be. I fall so short of my perfection, I give myself the third degree. I drown it in self-medication. I'm not the man I want to be. Part of me is hurt and broken. It's missing like an amputee. And despite my best at compensation, I'm not the man I want to be. Each attempt at vain redemption brings troubles I could not foresee. It steals away my joy and patience. There you go, Watto. I'm not the man I want to be. There's a better place I long for. I'm running like a refugee, but I can't outrun my fears and failures. I'm not the man I want to be. I cry out loud with my confession. I surrender with a guilty plea. All of me is insufficient. I'm not the man I want to be. But I fall down in this contrition, a busted bloke on bended knee. I can't restore my soul condition. I'm not the man I want to be. Someone told me there's redemption, the way, the truth, life, the key. Is he the strength that I've been seeking? Is he the man I ought to be? I searched the world for my salvation, that mortal man could be so free. One both strong and still so humble, he's the man I want to be. He took my shape, took my confusion, and gave himself upon a tree. I found life in one called Jesus. He's the man for me. Well, I found life in one called Jesus.
All right. Oh man, I feel really self-indulgent when I get out my guitar and sing and blokes listen. I was like, you know, Eric Liddell, Chariots of Fire, he says, when I run I feel God's pleasure. When I write songs, that's my spot, you know. And so thanks for listening. I'll tell you a bit of a yarn. I got, in November 2008, I got a phone call from a mate of mine I hadn't seen for about 20 years, and he said, Morrow, there's a bloke coming to Australia. His name's Angus Buchan. And he's a spud farmer, and he's been across, but he said, we're wondering if you'd help us lead worship at this bloke's thing out on just on one of the suburbs of Perth. And I went home that night, and before I had a chance to tell my wife, she whipped out this flyer and she said, "Have you heard this spud farmer? He's coming to Perth." And I said, "You wouldn't believe it." I said, "Elliot rang me today and asked me if I'd help lead worship." So I thought, up to that point, I'd been locked into 7 weekend services and really done nothing outside of the walls, you know. I was just bashing myself to death, just flogging myself in the church. And so I said, "Yeah, I'll get involved." And that Sunday, I took out my phone. I haven't got it here, but it's still got the date because I haven't touched it since. And it was in November 2008. And I wrote, heal our land, spirit fall and heal our land. We humbly turn and seek your face. Holy Spirit, heal our land. And I wrote it in my phone. Anyway, I went along, you know, we rehearsed, went along 2009, was wearing a Shed Happens t-shirt, and this bloke comes up to me, "Where'd you get your t-shirt?" And I said, "Where'd you get yours?" That was Watto. And we met that day, and I'm sitting there in that tent with Angus Buchan, and I'm like you blokes are this weekend. My heart's just burning, like, I was messed up. I just felt like all my worlds and destinies and everything was colliding in one moment. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, "I want you to meet Angus and I want you to ask him to pray that you'd receive a portion of his anointing." And or it says in 2 Kings chapter 2 where Elisha says to Elijah, "I want double your anointing." Anyway, it was a pretty outrageous idea, and I didn't actually get to meet Angus that weekend. He was, every time he spoke, he was carted off. You know, he looked at me and he had a prophetic word for my life. But I went home on the Saturday night of this 3-day conference, just like this. It was Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And I went home on the Saturday night and I said to my wife, I said, "God's just stirring my heart. I don't know what's going on." I couldn't sleep that night. I got up and I was on my knees in my lounge room, just racked with stirring. I said, "God, if you're stirring my heart and you're speaking something, I want you to give me a sign." So I'm a bit like that. I feel like I'm thick as 2 planks sometimes, and I say, "God, you got to make it obvious for us blokes." And he will. He's good like that. And I went the next day, and I'd finished sound check, and up rushed this kid with a piece of paper, and he had a phone number on it and his dad's name. And he said, "My dad is going to pay for you to go to South Africa to the next Mighty Men's Conference." And Angus had been running these conferences on his farm for 5 years, and the first year he had about this many blokes, and the next year he had about 1,000. By the fifth year, he had the biggest tent in the world, had 60,000 men, and he was inviting us to come over for the sixth year. And there was, so I got paid for, and I took that as a sign maybe God was trying to say something to me, because I got a free ticket, and we all love a free ticket. Well, love a free feed as well. And so I land over there, and, oh, man, it was electric. Like, you think, guys, you did an awesome job this morning, you guys leading worship. That was just beautiful. Yeah, give them a hand. And we're over there amongst 150,000 blokes on this just, and it's not luxury. I mean, this is like, this ain't camping. This is flipping deluxe. This is 5-star. We were out in the scrub with our tents and there was just this mess of men, and in the middle was this massive stage and screens, and there was hay bales and chairs and 150, 180, something ridiculous amount of men there. And on the day that we were there, I took with me an Australian flag, as Angus said, to bring your flag. So I found the biggest stick, longest stick I could find, about as high as this roof, and stuck the flag on it, and we'd march into this group of 150,000 men with the Australian flag going, "Aussie, Aussie, Aussie." And oi, and we were going, we learnt their language. We love Jesus in their language. We were singing, and they loved us. So it was awesome. Anyway, we're standing in worship, right, on Anzac Day, right, with each other. And the Spirit of God, there's men weeping, arms raised on their knees. I've never seen anything like it. Just ruined me. And I'm weeping, and what had happened, this Victorian policeman, I don't know what it is about Victorian policemen, this guy was related to Angus. He was Angus's nephew. He'd married into the family, and he'd heard that there was a group of about 30 Aussie blokes here, and he'd come and found our tent, which was no small mission in itself. And And he said, Angus wants to meet you blokes after this morning's service. And we said, oh, fair dinkum, that's awesome. He said, you guys have come a long way. So Australia Day, after the service, we're marching with our flag and we go under the stage into this tiny little black room where Angus had been. And he just hugs us all and thanks us for coming over. He's the most humble and just a beautiful bloke. And just he remembered my name from leading worship. He said, Motto. Oh, just a ripper. And anyway, we were a blubbering mess, like half the blokes are here this morning. And I piped up because what had happened, before I'd come to South Africa, I'd gone to a men's breakfast. And I'd said, hey, I'm going to Africa. And I was just sharing with the men, God was stirring my heart. And after the breakfast, a bloke came up to me. He said, Morrow, did you get to go to the pastor's session when Angus was here? And I said, no. I said, I missed out. And I was doing sound. And I said, what happened? He said, he lined all the pastors up around the wall, got out some oil. He opened the Bible at 2 Kings chapter 2 and read about Elijah and Elisha. And he anointed every man in the room. And he told me this. This is before I got to Africa. A bloke had told me this. So we're there on Anzac Day in Africa. And I said, Angus, you got to pray for us. The anointing that you prayed for those men from 2 Kings chapter 2 that we'd receive a double portion of your anointing because Australia needs a revival in the men. And he said, boys, if you want that, get on your knees now. So there were, we knelt down and just men were weeping. And you should see the video of it. It's just, you could feel the thickness, the tangible presence of God in that room. And he just walked around. He's simple. He's just laying hands. He says, just go home, do a good job. Love your wives. And he just touched our heads. And we were just frothing. We got up and I kind of piped up. I said, hey, fellas, let's pray for Angus. So we put our hands on him and we prayed for him. And we walked out of that room and started going up the hallway. And I'm standing next to Angus and the eyes in his head rolled back and he fell over and had a heart attack. Man, we were packing ourselves then. The next thing you know, the ambulances and they were coming and telling us to clear out of there. It was one of the, just, you know, you get the drift. It was an intense kind of time. And we're back in our tent just praying on our knees, God. The next thing you know, they've called out over the PA, come back in, we're going to pray for Angus because he's had a heart attack. And they'd taken him to the front of his house and he'd had another one that put him on the paramedic thing. Gordy will know he had an inverted T pattern, which they say is a classic sign of a heart attack. And they had a chopper come in and fly him out of there. And we're standing there praying for him. And he believes, it goes to his story. He said he looked out the window and he saw the men and he believed in that instant God healed him. They flew him to the closest regional hospital, put him on a treadmill and couldn't find a thing wrong with him. Mate, so, but here's the deal. This is what happened to us Aussie blokes. Because in that scripture, Elijah says, you'll receive what I've given if you see me go. And what happened is Elijah got taken up in a red chariot. And we saw before us Angus taken off in a red medevac helicopter. And I know you laugh because it's funny, but it gave us faith. God was showing himself in signs and wonders. And we received a prophecy that weekend that we would go back and in Australia, because around the stage were hay bales, and a bass player came down and he said, I want to tell you Australian blokes, because we were stacking up the hay bales in the mountains, and he said, I want to tell you Aussie blokes that God's going to light up your heart and you're going to go around, and those hay bales are like towns in Australia and they're going to light up. It's going to happen around the regions. You know it, don't you? I came back completely ruined. That was when the doors opened for me to get involved with the Eagles. Anyway, Angus was coming back in 2010. I got asked to lead worship again. And Elliot, the guy coordinating, said, Morrow, you got any songs we could teach the blokes, you know, something simple? I said, mate, I've only got this really simple 3-chord song that I wrote called Heal Our Land. I said, you wouldn't believe it. I wrote it when you rang me. So anyway, I played it to him. He said, let's do it at the conference. So 2010, Angus is back. Some of you blokes were there in the white tent. And I sang this song, Heal Our Land, and Angus gets up and he goes, Morro, you're going to sing that song in South Africa this year. And I'm like, no, mate, I went last year, you know. Free ticket. Mark just said, free. I had five people offer to pay for me to go. Five people. And you know what? You got to hear from, God said to me, I want you to pay your own way. So I paid my own ticket. You got to be listening. God said, like I was in the Word, he said, and he went a different way to Bethany, and God was clear as a bell, son, I want you to go different. You're going to pay your own way because you got to take ownership of this yourself. So I ended up back in South Africa, and a few weeks before I went into my office, and there on the floor of my office at the church was a brand new flight case with a brand new $4,500 guitar in it. And I'd never had a flight case before. God was making a way for me to go back. So I went back, landed there, and on the first day we were there, this year there was close to over 250,000 men on this guy's farm. It's ridiculous. It was unreal. Yeah, it's a lot of blokes, hey. Let me tell you about the toilets. And the showers, it was feral, mate. It was unbelievable. Tell you what, but you can imagine. And for those who've seen Angus, he does this thing where he goes, Amen! And all the blokes go, Amen. And when you got 250,000 men that in one instant go, Amen, it would echo down the valley like an army. And the earth would shake, Amen. And it would go, Amen, Amen. It was amazing. Just stir your spirit, men awake. And I went on, we rocked up on the Wednesday. On the Thursday morning, I went up to the music guy who's his son, and I'd met his son, Andrew. And I said, hey, your dad kind of invited me over to sing this song. He said, oh, you know, where is Murray? Where are you staying? Oh, I'm in that tent over there, which we weren't far from. They'd set up a special place for the Aussies about 50 metres from the stage. So we were right near the action. And anyway, didn't come and see me. And that was the conference started on the Friday night. All day Saturday, no one come and saw me. And on the Saturday, I was wrestling with God. I'm saying, what'd you bring me over here for? I wasn't worried about coming. And then God said, it's not about you, Murray, doing anything, you know. And you can wrestle with your pride and you got to die to it. You got to die. God gave me a scripture that day, Proverbs 16:3. The crucible for silver, the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the heart. And he tests our heart, and he tested me. And I sat in that crowd of 300,000 blokes on my own. And it was like I was the only man there when he spoke the message. And he opened and he preached from 2 Kings chapter 2. And I knew I was meant to be there. And that night, the bloke said to me, Morrow, are you singing this song? Because the Aussies knew I'd come over. And I said, mate, God, I've got what I came for. God has spoken my heart. Oh, that's his. So the next morning, there was one session to go, the Sunday morning session. And I'm lying in my tent. And it's about 20 minutes to 9 when the session started with my best mate who'd come over. And this little 15-year-old kid from out of Perth, a bush town called 2J, his name is Harry, he runs up to me and he says, Morrow, are you going to sing this song or what? And I said, Harry, we've been singing it every night in our tent. And we'd sat around singing Heal Our Land, Heal Our Land. And I said, that's God's gig, Harry. My hands are off what God wants to do. And he runs off. And because Angus had a heart attack the year before, you couldn't get near him. Like I call him the potato pope. They should have had a glass cage around him, you know. And so I hadn't bothered to see. And I'd had an opportunity, but I kept going, Lord, this is your gig. I don't want to get up there. It's not about me. And Harry comes back. And what the Australians had been doing all weekend, they got hold of those orange flak jackets you wear when you're ushering in a large crowd. So they'd help the blokes in the hay bales. And half the reason they'd done it, because it meant they could sit down the front. But so Harry, I tell you, the front and the back in a gig that big is massive. The back is like 400 metres away. So Harry had put on one of these orange jackets and run backstage. And he'd gone up to Angus and said, Morrow's here. Only a kid would do that, right? What a champion. He runs back and he says, Morrow, Angus wants to see you. And he threw me his little orange jacket like it was the anointing, you know. He goes... So I'm like, I hadn't had a shave, I'd slept in the shirt I was in and jeans, and I looked as rough as guts. Yeah, stinky breath. What I would have been really peeved. And I run backstage and Angus turns around, he goes, Morrow, and he hugs me. And he said, look out. And we looked out and there was people, an ocean of people. And he said, this is the last time I'm doing this. He said, you'll never see this again. And I'm like, I'm going to see it again. I'm going to see it again. And he invited me up that weekend. And he said, Morrow, this is 10 minutes before the service. He said, go into that room. And he sent me into that room that I'd been before, and he prayed for us. And the bloke goes to me, oh, you're on after the trumpeter. So I hadn't shaved, hadn't done a thing. I looked as like a hairy dog, and I got up on stage, and I'm looking out at this ocean of blokes. Burn my heart for this nation. We've got to wake up. We've got to stand up. We've got to speak up. We've got to. And I hadn't had a sound check. I went and grabbed the guitar. I tell you what, when you play a guitar through a sound system that big, first time you strum it, you feel like you're starting a jumbo. It's awesome. It was amazing. I picked up this guitar. Went, whoa! And I put that guitar on, and just up to then, my knees were knocking so hard, it's a wonder you couldn't hear them over here. And I got up, and the peace of God came on me, and I said, Angus, can I say something? Because I was the only Aussie bloke who had a chance that weekend. And I just said, guys, what God's doing here, we need in Australia. And this song comes from 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I'll hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. And I closed my eyes and started singing this song I'm going to sing now. And when I opened my eyes, the blokes were standing up singing it with me. We need God to heal our land. It goes like this. Heal Alan.
Alan.
That's our prayer. God, we ask you to heal our land. It happens by healing our lives, Lord, and our hearts. And start with us. The kingdom of heaven is within you. It says in Luke 17:21, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And the line dividing good and evil is not out there. It's not between countries. It's not between houses. It runs between in the middle of every human heart. And God wants the kingdom of light and the kingdom of his love to reign in the territory of your heart and to defeat every giant that exists there, every giant of shame, every giant of lust, every giant of pride, that he would have complete occupation in your heart. And out of your heart, Proverbs 4:23 will flow the wellspring of life into your family. God, you've done a job on our hearts. And our prayer going back is that we would just do a good job. Do a good job. Love our wives, love our kids. We don't have to work it up. We can just be honest and true blokes. Father, I pray your anointing, a spirit of revival, on the heart of every bloke here. We would go back and we'd do a good job. And Lord, we'd have a crack. We would just have a fair income crack where you call us to. And as my mate Watto says, he says, Morrow, make it happen. Make it happen, fellas. Lord, we thank you that you're the one making it happen in us. And we just give you thanks for this weekend. Thank you for every bloke here. Thank you for what you've done. And Lord, we just say again, all the glory, all the honour, all the power, all the majesty, all the praise, all the adoration, Lord, it's yours now and forever. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, guys. Love you, blokes.
Have a seat. Stephen from Horsham had a message for me to give to the Horsham blokes. When Watto's finished, the bus is running. So, Horsham gents, it's been fantastic having you all along. The bus this year was a bit too small. Bigger bus next year. Pack more gents in, bring them along. So as the Horsham blokes start heading out, give them a big Better Blokes ovation. Well done, gents, and go and bless the Horsham region and bring it further out. And we're looking forward to seeing the way God's going to work through you guys in the year ahead. So awesome. Well done, blokes.